live with expectations. Every day when we get up, we accept that after a long night will a new day start. We expect certain things to happen in a certain way. Because we know from our past experience that every time certain things follow one after another. It was like this before and it should continue like this. If we are diligent with our studies, we can expect to get a good note. If we are hardworking, we expect to get a good salary, or we get some praise from our boss. If we teach our kids to be polite, to be nice, to be diligent, then we expect that when we are not there, that they are going to be like that as well. There are certain laws are given to us that we just have to follow them and we'll see a good result. In order to achieve certain things, we have just to give some effort. It's quite natural if we do some right things, there will come a positive outcome from it. God created our material world, He gave us life, and He created as well the natural law that as well would help us to live in this world. And when we follow it, we see the result. But there is as well a spiritual world. There is as well a spiritual dimension that we do not see with our material eyes. And we find that with Jesus, there is a spiritual dimension came into our world. And we see that there is not enough to expect just material things. That we have to expect some spiritual things too. There are some things happen that we just don't know how to accept them. We just don't know how to understand because our mind just stops there and we have no answer and we ask, why did it happen? Because there is a spiritual dimension. There is a spiritual world. And some things just happen. Not just happen, but because God, who is the author of everything. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, if only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. It makes no sense if we believe just in Jesus Christ, just in this world. Probably some of you have heard about a tragic car accident of a mom with her two kids. They are our neighbors and friends from the church. Mother with her two kids in a small minivan on the way home just crashed in a school bus. We don't know the reason what has happened, but we know that all of them were heavy injured. After a few days, a little daughter, Hannah Marie, died. Nobody expected it. Why did it happen? A young family had their plans. They tried to teach their children in the best possible way to fear the Lord. They built a house. They had a good job. Everything was going according to a plan. And then just that bad accident. And turn everything upside down. It's meant to destroy the family if they would not believe in another dimension, that there is God who lets things happen. Our understanding, our logical conclusions cannot give a reasonable answer. There should be another dimension. There should be God who is working, and we'll understand it later. We want to be sure that nothing bad will happen to us. We want to hold everything in our hands. We have to have everything in control. But we have to realize we cannot hold everything in our hands. We did not decide when we have to be born. We did not decide when we are going to die. We did not decide many things. They just come to happen. Sometimes we are scared and terrified. What is going to happen next? We are approaching the closing of this 2018 year, and we are a bit scared and frightened about our future. What is going to happen in a new year? Maybe the things will go in the same way as they went before. Maybe to some families or to all of us, there's going to be a great changes. We know that we are not eternally here. We know that with every year we are coming to an end of our earthly life and we are approaching closer to eternity. But what is important is to know the one who knows the future. To know the one who dictates the future. To trust him even when we don't understand. But he knows what he is doing. With coming of Jesus in our sinful world, many things were changed. People expected Messiah in one way, but he came in a completely different way. A few days ago, we were celebrating Christmas. We were reminded how Jesus was born, how Jesus came into our world. A son of God was born not in a king's family. A son of God was not born in a religious family or in the temple. No, he was born in a manger, in a very poor environment. And his following life was full of unexpected events. There were the shepherds who came to see him. And many other things, we just find that they just, with our human mind, the Jewish leaders, they could not expect Jesus to come in that way. They thought that he will come and just he'll rebuild the kingdom of David. He'll fight against Romans. He'll give some freedom. But there was another dimension. He came to give a spiritual freedom, forgiveness from sins. It's a God's plan. It's God's wisdom. Because God wants to intervene into our world in the way that he wanted to do it. In John, Jesus said, I come from above and you are from below. Jesus was fully a man and Jesus was fully God within one person. We cannot understand this. It is a mystery. It's impossible to comprehend with our limited minds. Jesus is one person, and yet he is fully God. He has to learn certain things, and yet he knows everything. He was tired. He had to eat. He had to sleep. And yet he can get up and just stop the storm. They are completely two different dimensions come together in one person, and that in Jesus Christ. And they complement each other completely and perfectly. That is why through Jesus Christ we can be saved. Because as a man, he could die on the cross to bear the punishment. And because as a God, he could resurrect from the dead and have victory over devil and over death. In this way, he can bring us people to God. In Luke 2, we have this a short story of a boy Jesus in the temple. He's a normal boy. And yet he is not a normal boy. He was much different. He was a divine boy. And it was quite a big privilege for Mary and Joseph. Privilege, but yet at the same time it was a challenge to look after Jesus. On the one hand, Jesus was perfectly obedient to his parents. On the other hand, he had to give priority to the obedience to his heavenly Father. In this story, we are going to have a close look to that what happened 2,000 years ago. It's just a short summary, a short story about what happened to Jesus when he was 12 years old, just 1 year older than Louis. Let us turn to the Word of God and read from the text Luke 2, 41 till 51. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they traveled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, that we can study your word and we can see Jesus there. We can see your plan there. We can see that you just did not leave us on our own, but you sent Jesus. Just it shows how much we are precious to you. We did not deserve it. We didn't do anything that it would please you, but you just loved us. And now you speak to us through your word, and we pray that you open our minds and our hearts to receive your truth. Please bless your word and be with us, and bless us through understanding of your word. Amen. The Bible tells us a little bit about Jesus' childhood. And he's growing up with his parents up till the age he became 30. What we have is just this short story. And maybe there is a good reason for that. Because Jesus was concentrated on his ministry years, 3.5 years. Passover was the greatest of the three festivals, with all Jews, men, had to keep coming to Jerusalem. Whole families and village groups traveled together to Jerusalem. The city normal population of Jerusalem was about 25,000 people, and at Passover it was up to 100,000, so many travelers, many pilgrims would come to Jerusalem. People traveled to Jerusalem in large groups for security reasons. Women and children formed one group. Men were going separately, building another group. There was a certain amount of people in one group. People like Joseph and Mary could go for a whole day traveling without really seeing each other because they were in different companies. This particular year, it was a special year for Jesus because he turned 12 and they brought him to the temple. And he now, from this time, when he is 12, he turned to be a man. He is not any longer a child. He became an adult. This is why the finding of Jesus in the temple marks as an important moment in Jesus' life. He had been a boy, and now he's a man. With this status, he was allowed to go in the temple and no longer to stay in the woman's court when the children and the woman would stay. Now 12 years old, he moved naturally to the space reserved for men, and he can speak to the, he can ask the questions. They can listen to the teachers of the law, and it was like a rabbinical school was there. And with these new responsibilities and privileges, he can learn something new about the kingdom of God. And as well, they would make it more interesting for the kids, for the young men their age, for their future, that they would have an interest afterwards to come and study there and to spend their time in the temple. And this was his first Passover in Jerusalem. And it was a happy time for all of them. But some things went wrong, not as expected. What did go wrong? We see that when the caravan set out from Jerusalem to journey back to Nazareth, each of Jesus' parents assumed that Jesus traveled. Mary assumed that Jesus traveled with the man, and Joseph assumed that he was traveling with the woman. But as it happens, he was with neither of them. Jesus went missing. His absence was not noted at the beginning until the end of the day. When family groups went together to assemble for the evening meal, suddenly they realized that Jesus was not with them. This text does not tell us that we can make a spiritual application for us as Christians, but I think it helps us to illustrate certain truths. We are Christians, we are travelers in this world. We are Christians, we are following God's example. We say that we are Christians because we follow Jesus. We are on the way to heaven. We can assume that Jesus is going with us. We can assume that everything is going well with us till the moment we realize that Jesus is not any longer there. We must not assume as his parents did. We have to ask ourselves, we have to prove, does Jesus really go with us? Is he with us or not? Is there a sense of lack of his presence in our life? We have to realize, we have to prove, we have to ask ourselves. Is he staying outside of our life? Maybe we're just religious, maybe we just go to church, we pray, and maybe we read the Bible from time to time. But is Jesus really in our life? Paul, in one of his letters to Colossians, he writes about Jesus, about this great mystery. He writes, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a great mystery, but Christ Jesus is in you, the hope of glory. We cannot say it about everyone, because everyone has to have this fellowship, relation with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to prove ourselves, is Jesus in our life? Is it just an assumption? Is it just what the parents told me? Is it just somebody told me? Or I really know about this because he is in me. I spend time with him. And when we are left on our own and there is nobody to disturb us, what do we like to do? Do we want to speak to Jesus? Do you want to spend time with him, to pray to him, or some other things takes the time, takes us over? Let us move to the second point. First, it was Jesus went missing, and the second, searching for Jesus. Mary and Joseph, and probably other family, they helped them to look for Jesus. First, they were searching among their relatives and friends. Then, among other travelers. The longer they searched, probably they began to panic and were scared, terrified. He is the Lord. God entrusted them to them. They had to look after Jesus. And now, what happened? They did not look well after him. They expected Jesus to be among them, but he is gone. They expected him to be with their friends, but he's not there. He is somewhere else. Jesus could be in danger. All kind of thoughts could come into their minds. Those who have their parents, probably they experience something like this when their children got missing. They start first to look, and then some more panic. They just start to look quicker, and all kind of thoughts, where can my child be? But they did not think that he is a child of God, and God's hand is upon him at this very moment, at this situation. So when they did not find Jesus among the travelers, they had to go all the way back to Jerusalem, where their journey started. And they had to go against the flow of other pilgrims leaving the city. Jesus had been missing for 2 days. They did not find him where they expected to find. And then there's a big surprise. We can make as well an application for our Christian life. If you see that Jesus is missing in your life, if you see that there is not a deep desire to have Jesus, to spend time with him, you have to look for him. You have to take your time and to ask yourself a question. What went wrong in my life? Maybe you were too much preoccupied with some other things, pursuing worthless things of this world that are not important, that nothing to compare with the spiritual life. To have Jesus, it means to have personal relation to Jesus. To have him in your mind, to have him in your heart. To have this longing for Jesus, to get to know him better. And if you do not have that, then you missed him. In John 2:15, John tells us, in 1 John, do not love the world and the things of this world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. We see as well these two dimensions. Those who live for this world, it just will pass away. It will have no meaning whatever. And the one who does the will of God, who spent his time with God, with Jesus, he does something for eternity, for a spiritual dimension. And if we realize that Jesus is not seen in my life, then we must be prepared to search for Jesus, to take time. And as his parents did, to take a day or two, or maybe a week or months, till we're not sure that Jesus is in my life. To search for him in prayer, to search for him in the scripture. To not give up until we are sure Jesus is with us. Search for Jesus in the way Mary and Joseph did. And they were surprised as they found him. David writes in one of his Psalms, 131, I will allow no sleep to my eyes, no slumber to my eyelids, till I find place for the Lord, a dwelling for the Mighty One of Jacob. It was really vitally important for David to find a place for the Lord in his life. And he was ready to pay the price for that. He said, I'm not going to fall asleep till I not be sure that there is a place for the Lord in my heart, in my thoughts. I will not sleep till I find place for him. Do we pray when we go to bed? Do we ask ourselves, how did this day went? Was Jesus there? What are your expectations? What do you expect from life? What do I expect from life? Is it my desire? We have to create a place for Jesus, because it seems that there is so much in this world. There's so much information. There's so much images. There's so much things that they just distract us. We want everything at the same time. And maybe in 1 hour time, we forget what we wanted now. Jesus had a focus to go to the temple. And then we'll see how he is pursuing his goal. Let us move to the next point. It's finding Jesus. After 3 days, once Mary and Joseph went to Jerusalem, it probably did not take them too long to find them in the temple, because they thought in Jerusalem the temple is the most important place, is the heart of the city where he is likely to be. And Jesus was in the temple. He was sitting among the teachers of the law, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone was just amazed at his understanding, at his answers. They saw that there's something divine in him. Somehow or other, their parents, Joseph and Mary, I think they spent quite a lot of time with Jesus, teaching him the scripture, explaining him, because they knew that Jesus is a special boy, but there is as well a divine part in it. Because the teachers of the law, they were impressed. It could not be that Mary and Joseph gave so much information. They thought it's a very good young boy who has the future before him. And it should be as well our ambition in life, when we have our families, when we have our children, to spend time with them, to teach them the things of God, to make it interesting for them, that they would be taken with it, that they would just see how it's important to know God, and when they get older, that they can make a right decision. Mary and Joseph, they did their part, but God did too. Jesus was sitting among the teachers of the law and asking them questions. And I just wonder what kind of questions. We don't know, but maybe about Messiah, how they understand it. But we know that God was at work. We can see here Jesus' deep desire to be in Father's house. He spent there 2 days learning about the things of God and not trying to run away to look for his parents. It was not normal for a boy at his age to show such a great interest in the things of God. And our fourth point and the last one, we see facing the real Jesus. Understandably, Mary and Joseph were relieved when they found Jesus, yet they were somehow maybe annoyed to see him just sitting there asking questions and not caring about them. Just as nothing happened, just as he was not missing his parents. They were looking for him 3 days long. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Do you not care?" We can see here in the answer from Mary that says, Father and I anxiously searching for you. She just somehow forgot that Jesus is the Son of God, that his real father is not Joseph, but the Father in heaven. When Jesus was questioned, he answered in a very clever and wise way. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my Father's house? Did you forget what happened at Christmas? What's going on with us in our life when it's Christmas is over? Do we forget everything about that? This answer seems to point to the fact that the young Jesus had already knew his Father. He spent time with his Father, and he knew what his Father desired him to do. The King James Version, we read, "Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" He must be busy with the Father's work. There's lots to do, and he's called for that. And now he needs to be prepared for that, and he wanted to know what he has to do. We see that Mary had some wrong expectations from Jesus. She knew that he is a son of God, but not to that extent. Not at this moment. She didn't know how to react when these things happened. It says they did not understand what he was saying to them. Do we have a real view of Jesus? Do you expect Jesus to work in our lives? Is Jesus just a friend, somebody who is fulfilling our needs and desires? Or Jesus is a creator, almighty God? Who is Jesus for you? You're going to face a real Jesus. He is Jesus, the Almighty God. Jesus is, he has both natures, nature of man and a nature of God at the same time. He was obedient to his Father, but he gave priority to his Heavenly Father. He was just as a normal boy, and yet he was not normal. He was a divine boy. He grew in wisdom and knowledge, and yet he knew everything. In Luke 2:40, we read, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him." Here we see two dimensions in Jesus. He had to learn, and he knew everything. We see this horizontal and vertical line, how they meet together, and it's a great mystery. And the one who comes to Jesus, who knows Jesus, he is automatically is connected to God, to eternity. In him we have life, eternal life. Mary knew Jesus as her son, but she did not expect at this stage to face a real Jesus who is relating to his Heavenly Father in such a special way. Do you know a real Jesus? Who is creator of the whole universe, the Son of God, a mighty Lord of the whole universe. If not, search for him when it's not too late. And you are not going to be surprised. He'll start to do his work, his spiritual, his eternal work in your heart and in your life. Jesus knew how to focus his life. He had one attention, all his attention. He wanted to follow God to fulfill his will. In the Gospel of Luke, we find especially, we read how Jesus set up his face to go to Jerusalem. And he just repeated many times, Jesus set up his face to go to Jerusalem to fulfill the will of his Father. To go and die on the cross for you and for me, that we may know you, him. Yeah, it's a bit hard for us. It seems that we have so much information. We know so much. But at the same time, it's our greatest problem. We don't know how to solve the things and to give a right priority in our lives. What should be first in our lives? We are almost everywhere with our thoughts. But we have to separate and make it important to have this focus on Jesus, to have this focus on God. Do you know Jesus? Do you have fellowship with Him? Is it your desire to fulfill the will of God? Let it be our ambition in this new coming 2019 to have our focus on Jesus, on the house of God, on His kingdom, on His righteousness, and all the rest will be given to us. Then we should not wonder when we follow Jesus, God is working in our life. Then we should not wonder why God is doing such great things with us. We can expect God's mighty intervention. We can expect that God through us will work as well in other people's life. As Paul in Ephesians 3:20 writes, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."